Good evening, Family Worship Center. How are you all tonight, folks? All right. This is a great night here in Newcastle. Gorgeous day, isn't it? Didn't God give us a good one? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Philippians 4 says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. We live in a time right now that is very stressful. We see the news. We see all kind of crazy stuff happening. But I got great news. The good news is that Jesus is on the throne. That Jesus has already defeated all of these enemies. And that if we live our life in the joy of God, we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear. For we are to be under his wing, as it says in Psalm 91, protected. We have the protection of the Lord. We have the joy of the Lord. We have the blessing of the Lord. And all it requires is for you to know who you are. You are sons and daughters of the Most High God, joint heirs with Jesus. Anybody that tells you anything else is lying. And guess what the enemy is? Liar! He lies. So you are blessed and highly favored. You're created to do great things, church. So tonight we are very blessed. We're going to have Brother Marvin preaching. We're so excited about that. And I'm even more excited that Pastor Chris and Pastor Kelly are taking the evening off. They're actually away resting and relaxing. Amen. We've had a lot of amazing things happening, a lot of miraculous healings have been occurring in this house. A couple of things to share. Number one, tonight the Kingdom Kids will be with Lindsay Cyrus. Number two is the Zion's Lions will be with Melissa Smart. We're not going to have fellowship tonight downstairs afterwards, so sorry, guys. But no, we'll be resuming those here in the near future. Something else. This Wednesday is going to be our family fun night, which means we spend time with our families. So there will be no service here at the church this Wednesday. No activities. Take the time. Spend time with your family. Get some ice cream at Four Bush. Or wherever, and they're not open. Oh my gosh, not on Wednesday. Well then Dairy Queen it is, right? Then we're off to Dairy Queen then, right? So, huge thing, mark your calendars. We have Apostle Wanda and Charlie Rollins coming to our church to minister on Saturday, July 30th. You guys don't want to miss this. It's gonna be amazing. She has an anointed and powerful word as a prophet. Pastor Chris really feels that we're at the season now to bring some prophetic words in here to, you know, prophetic words in essence tell us who we are and they point us to where we need to go. So they are affiliated with Bishop Clowers and the Family Worship Center Ministries. They pastor Covenant Fellowship Church in Dunlap, Tennessee. So they will be up here on Saturday, July 30th. That does correspond with the fireworks festival also, folks, but that's okay. I think she's going to have some fireworks going on in here. Amen? So, folks, this is a great night. It's going to be a phenomenal night for us to praise God, to worship the Lord. So, folks, let us come into worship. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. For God, you are holy. You are righteous. Father, you are who you say you are. So, Father, we pray right now, Father, as we enter into worship. We pray, Father, that you'll open up the heavens, that you'll pour out of us the windows of heaven, the water, Father, that we can just nourish ourselves, Father. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for who you've told us we are. And we thank you that we will do what you've told us to do. We ask you, Father, to anoint this service, anoint this time. Father, let us praise you with every ounce of energy, with every bit of our being, Lord. And we give you the glory, the honor, and praise, for you are the Almighty God. In this house, Jesus reigns. And in all God's people said, amen. Let us worship the Lord.
All right, everyone, stand and praise the Lord.
Lord, I find you in the seeking. Lord, I find you in the doubt. And to know you is to love you, and to know so little else, I need you. Oh, how I need you. Oh, how I need you. Oh, you in the morning. Lord, I see you every day. Live my life before your glory, woven in your threads of grace. I need you. Oh, how 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 I need you. Like glorious light, I will go where you surround. Make the dawn crack the skies. Make the way right before me in your life. I will find all I need is you. Like glorious light, I will go where you shine. Break the dawn, crack the skies. Make the way right before me in your light. I will find all I need is you. Oh, how I need 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 you. Like glorious light. Like glorious light, I will go where you shine. Break the dawn, crack the skies. Make the way bright before me in your light. I will find all I need is you. Like glorious light, I will go where you shine. Break the dawn, crack the skies. Make the way bright before me in your light. I will find all I need is you. Oh, how I need 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 you.
Oh, praise God. Numbers are small, but we still serve a great God, so we can keep on worshiping Him and praising Him. So it doesn't matter if there's one of us, we can praise. We're in a car, we're at home by ourselves, we can praise. And I just encourage you to do that. I just want to welcome everyone here, everybody on online watching. Just go after God and just reach out to Him. One thing that I thought about this week was, a lot of times when we come to God, we sometimes, you know, we're told to go before the throne boldly. Sometimes we go a little bit too boldly because we need to come humbly. But we could go boldly to an extent that we are children of the living God. We are children of the King. We could go say, God, I'm going to go before the throne. But when we do, we still do it out of respect. But we can still go before the throne of God. And I just encourage you, just go after God. Just go after God boldly, you know, and humbly at the same time. Just broken heart, just going after Him and just blessing Him.
I was lost in shame. I couldn't get past my pain. Till He called my name. I'm so glad He changed me. Darkness held me down. Jesus pulled me out. I'm no longer bound. I'm so glad He changed me. Still I'm a new creation in Christ. The old has gone. There's no time. I live by faith, not by sight. There is a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, and it's mine. I met the author of my story, and it's mine, and he's mine. Sin has left me blind, but Jesus opened my eyes. Now I see the light.
I'm so glad he saved me.
Now I'm walking free. I've got the victory. See, it's over me.
I'm so glad he changed me.
See, I'm a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, there's new life. I live by faith, not by sight. There is a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, and it's mine. I met the author of my story, and it's mine, and it's mine.
There is a new name.
There is a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, and it's mine. I met the author of my story, and it's mine, and it's mine. I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. There is a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, yes, it's mine. I met the author of my story, and it's mine, yes, it's mine. There is a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, and it's mine. I met the author of my story, and it's mine. And he's mine, and he's mine, yes, 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 he's of time. He who made every living thing, behold him. He who heard humanity's cry, left his throne to wake as a child. He became man like least of these. Behold Jesus, Son of God, Messiah, the Lamb, the roaring lion. Oh, be still and behold him. He who died with sinners and saints, healed the blind, the lost, and the lame. Even now he is in our midst. Behold him. He who chose the criminal's den, paid with blood to settle our debt. Buried death as he rose to life. Behold him, Jesus, Son of God, Messiah, the Lamb, the roaring lion. Oh, be still and behold him, Jesus, Alpha and Omega, our God, the risen Savior. Behold him. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Worthy, worthy, worthy to receive all praise. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Worthy, worthy, worthy to receive all praise. Jesus, Son of God, Messiah, the Lamb, the roaring lion. Oh, be still and behold him, Jesus, Alpha and Omega, our God, the risen Savior. Oh, be still and behold him. Behold. Behold him. Behold him. Behold him. Jesus is in this room, here right now, making this place I stand, holy ground, your spirit moves and brings all around, all good and perfect things flowing down, flowing down. If all of the heavens are singing along with the saints and the elders in glorious song, and the praises they sing never seem to get old, then I'll stay here forever singing. holy, holy, holy Lord. God Almighty, over all. You were, you are, and you'll be forever the King enthroned in glorious splendor. Holy, holy Lord, gentle of calling me closer still, closer still. Jesus, you're guiding me to your will, to your will. All of the heavens are singing along with the saints and the elders in glorious song. And the praise that they sing never seem to get old. Then I'll stay here forever singing. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God Almighty, over all. You were, you are, and you'll be forever the King enthroned in glorious splendor. Holy, holy Lord. The veil is torn and the doors swing wide. I see glory as I run inside your throne room. Before you, I bow, let's run into the throne room. The veil is torn and the doors swing wide. I see glory as I run inside your throne room. Before you, I bow. The veil is torn and the doors swing wide. I see glory as I run inside your throne room. Before you, I bow. The veil is torn and the doors swing wide. I see glory as I run inside your throne room. Before you, I bow. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God Almighty, over all. You were, you are, and you'll be forever the King enthroned in glory.
You were and you are.
You were, you are, and you'll be forever the King enthroned in glory.
You were and you are.
You were, you are, you'll be forever the King enthroned in glorious splendor. Holy, holy Lord.
Holy. was going to open with tonight, but man, that just melted me. Hallelujah. We serve a holy, holy God. And He still chose to come down to this earth to make a way for us. Because we were lost without Him. Merciful. Hallelujah. And the song before that, just behold Him, behold Him, behold Him. Hallelujah. Father, we come before You in the precious name of Jesus, thanking You and praising You for who You are. Without You, we are nothing. Lord, without You, we are nothing. We can't even exist without You. And Father, we know what we deserved, but You didn't give us what we deserved. You chose mercy, and You poured out Your grace upon us. So Father, we exalt You. You are holy, holy, holy. And we exalt You. We just behold You, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. The rightful King. We praise You and we exalt You. We thank You for the privilege, Lord, to be in this house tonight, to worship You, to praise You, because You're worthy of all of our praise. Lord, You are worthy of everything that we can praise You with. Everything. Hallelujah. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Father, You're worthy. I thank You and praise You, Father, for the privilege tonight to share Your Word, not my Word, but Your Word. Let it be Your Word. Holy Spirit, have Your way as You're already doing now. Have Your way. Let our hearts be soft and pliable before You, that You can do what You desire to do. And we praise You. And we praise You, and we praise You in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Thank You, praise Team. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, I don't know where to go now. It just totally wrecked me. Hallelujah. I think God's just doing such a powerful work in the church in this day and age. You know, there's people that, and Dale basically preached my message. Thank you, brother. There's people watching the news and they're saying, oh, things are so bad and this is going on and that's going on. And I'm not denying that those things that they're talking about are not going on. But as Dale said, man, we serve the God that is on the throne. He is on the throne and He is in control and nothing catches Him by surprise. And as Mordecai told Esther, could it be, you know, in that time, they were getting ready to slaughter all the Jews, the entire Jewish nation. But you know, God had everything prepared long before that time. And He had things lined up so that this little Jewish girl would become queen and have power and have authority and have an influence. And Mordecai told Esther, could it be that You are here for such a time as this? And I've used that before, and I know you've heard that many times before, but that's just not some cliche. It is so relevant today that we are here for such a time as this. The church is here for such a time as this. And no matter how bad it gets out there, no matter what's going on, and no matter how terrible it seems, God is still on the throne, and He operates through His church. We are the church. We are His body, and we have power, and we have authority in the name of Jesus. And He's rising up the church. He's raising up the church. And he's waking us up to know who we are, man. And Brother Dale already touched on that, to know who we are in Christ Jesus, the power and the authority that we have in Christ Jesus, the weapons that we have. They are not carnal, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we are here. Every one of you, every one of you as an individual is here for such a time as this. Not by accident, for such a time as this. So don't get afraid. He's not given us the spirit of fear. He has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You're here for a purpose. Hallelujah. Not just in this, you're in the kingdom of God for such a time as this. And he's given you gifts and talents. And man, I just think he has wakened so many people up to the gifts and talents he has given them, that so many people are not aware of what they truly have and the weapons that they truly have available. Hallelujah. And I'm way off track, but it's okay. Hallelujah. You know, in Jude, verse 3, because Jude's only one chapter, but in verse 3, and this Pastor Chris, I had an entirely different, not entirely different, but somewhat different message. And Pastor Chris was preaching Wednesday night. And as he was preaching just about all the things that we have available, the Lord just kept impressing on me, contend for the faith, contend for the faith, contend for the faith. So in Jude verse 3, it says, Beloved, and this is in the Amplified Classic, it says, Beloved, my whole concern was to write to you in regards of our common salvation. But I found it necessary and was impelled to write you and urgently appeal to and exhort you to contend for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. There's an urgency about it, to contend for the faith. And I believe that today, with everything going on, there is an urgency. There is an urgency for the church to contend for the faith, to fight for it, to stand their ground, to hold fast, not to be distracted to all the things around us. But to stand our ground, hallelujah, contend, contend, contend. Do we have any contenders in the house tonight? Do we have any contenders in the house tonight? Because God is doing a mighty work. Hallelujah. And just going back in verse 1, it says, says Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ the Messiah, the brother of James, writes this letter to those who are called, chosen. You are called, you are chosen. Today, in this day and age, for such a time as this, you are called, you are chosen. There's not one person in here who is an accident. There's not one person in here who God does not have a purpose and a plan for your life. There's not one person in here who God has not given gifts and talents and abilities that he chooses to use, that he wants to use to advance his kingdom and to minister in a very specific way. And there's many people out there that they just don't know what they have, and they think, I can't do anything. I can't do this. I can't do that. Man, let God just do what he wants to do. And let him open your eyes and wake you up to what he has for you, what he has established in you before the foundations of the world, and what he intends to do in and through you. But to those who are called and chosen, dearly loved by God the Father, dearly loved by God. Do you know why God created you? Do you know exactly why God created you? He created you for one thing, so that he could love you. God created you to love you. God doesn't need anything. God is sovereign. But he created you so he could love you. God loves you. And for those who feel that, man, how can God love? God loves you. God created you to love you. That's his purpose for you, to create. He created you to love you, to have fellowship with him. Hallelujah. So those who are dearly loved by God, by the Father, and separated, set apart and kept for Jesus Christ. Set apart. And we need to be set apart. We need to be set apart. Hallelujah. There's three things that keep us from contending. Number one is not knowing how much he loves us. Listen, God's love is not, people can say, hey, you know what? God really loves you, man. And a lot of times it just sounds like, yeah, okay, you know, it's just this nice mushy love. Listen, God's love is fierce. God's love is fierce and God's love is focused and God knows exactly what he's doing and he knows the end from the beginning. He knows every mistake that you and I are going to make and he still chose to have us born and he still chose to save us. He knows the end from the beginning and he still chose to love us. He still chose to have us born and he still chose to save us. He loves you. His love is fierce. It's focused. It's focused. But he loves you. In Romans 8:35, well, let me start earlier. In verse 31, it says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son. He spared not his own son. That's how much he loved you and I. He spared not his own son. And you know, when Jesus was on the cross and all of a sudden everything got dark. And he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I've heard it preached many times, you know, God can't look on sin. Well, listen, God knew all about sin long before that time, you know, but all that was on Jesus and he turned away. But in my heart, I think, man, here's the Father looking to his only begotten Son on that cross and all the sins of the world being put on his Son. And I feel that he had to look away. Otherwise, he would have stopped it. He had to look away or he would have stopped it. I mean, that's me. That's my heart. Because if it was my son, there's no way. So he did not even spare his own son. He loves you and I that much. He loves us that much. You have to grasp hold of that. That's how much God loves us. His love for us is fierce. It's intentional. It's focused. So a lot of times we can't contend because we don't know that we are truly loved, but we are. We are. We are. He loves us. Number two, it's not knowing the debt has already been paid in full. And so many times, man, I hear messages, not here, but I've heard messages over the years about what a sinner I am and how terrible I am. And, you know, it's like, telling your kid, will you stop that, you stupid idiot? You're never going to amount to anything. Now, what's that reinforcing? Or you can tell, hey, will you stop that? You are too good for that. You're way smarter than that. Stop that, please. Thank you. That's the difference between preaching what sinners and how terrible we are versus the grace of God. Listen, that doesn't mean, you know, people say, well, if you just preach grace, then people will sin with, you know, without a license, you know, people have been sinning without a license for years. You know, I don't even want to get, because it says the love of God constrains me. We're not lawless. We're not lawless when we operate under grace because the love of God constrains us. And when you love someone, you're going to do what's best for them. You're going to do what's right because you love them. Hallelujah. So when we operate out of love, and you guys already know that. I'm preaching to the choir. Hallelujah. But the debt has already been paid. When Jesus said, it is finished, it was finished. It was finished. All the sins of the world, he died for the sins of the whole world. Anyone going to hell is going to go because they rejected the free gift that God gave in their stead. So a lot of people don't know that that's already been paid. So they're walking around thinking, oh man, I can't measure up. I still do this and I still got that habit. And I can't get past this. The debt's been paid. The debt's been paid. And we need to operate in the love of God and in grace. Hallelujah. And walk in that freedom and in that liberty. Man, some of the songs that these guys were singing tonight, just that freedom and that liberty. Hallelujah that we have because that debt has been paid. So a lot of times people will not contend for the faith because they're weighed down with guilt and condemnation. And they need to know that that debt's been paid and they are set free. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We've been set free. We've been set free. Hallelujah. Because of what Jesus did. It's a finished work. And in Romans 8:1, it says, there is therefore now. no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation, because it was a finished work. Number three, not knowing that we're endued with power. Luke 10:19, Jesus said, "Behold, I have given you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over 35% of the enemy." Of the power of the, no, over all. "Behold, I've given you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and that nothing shall by any means harm you." Hallelujah. There is power and there is authority that you and I have as the body of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So a lot of times people will not contend because they don't know the weapons, as Brother Dale already said, the weapons that they already have. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1, and Pastor Chris uses this a lot. If I can get there. Ephesians chapter 1. And you know, when I read this and I discovered it, man, I never saw this before. And I shared it with Pastor Chris, and I thought I was sharing something new with him, and he had already been into this, and he reads this all the time. But it's a very powerful passage. But in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 17, it says, "For I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries and secrets, in the deep and intimate knowledge of him, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you, and how rich is his glorious inheritance to the saints, set apart ones." I heard a speaker say one time, how many of you in here have ever gone living week to week, you know, paycheck to paycheck? Okay, we've all been there. And man, just trying to stretch that and make sure there's nothing extra. But what if all of a sudden you get the news that you have this tremendous inheritance and there are just millions and millions of dollars that you've been inherited and you have that to live off of? What a difference that would be. But spiritually, we're trying to operate so many times by our earnings, earn our way into this and earn our way into that. And it's already been done. We have a rich inheritance, and we need to tap into that. That rich inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus. He has given us everything pertaining to life and to godliness. Everything. So we need to operate out of that rich inheritance that he has, because it's been a finished work. It's already done. We're set free. And now we need to operate in the knowledge of who we are and what he wants to do in us and through us. But we have that rich inheritance. And it goes on. His rich inheritance. And so that you can know and understand, in verse 19, what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power. And I've already touched on this one other time that I spoke. If I was to talk about God, let's say, man, he's got this immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power, you'd say, absolutely, God's all powerful. He's almighty. Yep, God can do anything he wants to do. He has it there. Awesome. In and for us who believe. In and for us who believe. That power is at work in us. We have that power. But let me continue on. Which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Okay, now that's the example. He raised Christ Jesus from the dead. So he demonstrated that power when he raised him from the dead, seated him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age and in this world, but also in the age and world which are to come. And he has put all things under his feet. Wait a minute. Are the feet a part of the body? And who's the body? We are the body. The church is the body. He has put all things under his feet and has appointed him the universal and supreme head of the church, a headship exercised throughout the church, which is his body. And it says, do you have that in 23? Yeah. For in that body lives 50%, the full measure. In that body lives the full measure of him who makes everything complete and who fills everything everywhere with himself. In that body. So we don't contend many times because we don't realize the power and the authority that we truly have. And it's not to be, and as Brother Dan said, you know, when we go into the throne of grace, yeah, let's go in boldly. Not in arrogance or anything along that line, but yet going in a reverential fear, but knowing who our Father is and what he has prepared for us, that he loves us, he's for us, but we have power and we have authority. And so many times that we take a back seat to things that are going on in this world when we need to speak to that mountain, speak to that mountain. And Jesus said, if you speak to that mountain and tell it to be cast in the sea, it shall be done. And I love what Pastor Chris shared, that we have the option of doing two things. We can either speak to the wind, to the storm, and command it to stop and be still, or we can walk on top of it. One of the two. Either way is good with me. But that's the power and the authority that we have in Jesus Christ. So we need to know who we are and the power and the authority we have, the fullness, the full measure of him. For in that body lives the full measure. In that body lives the full measure. I want to leave you with that. Hallelujah. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, and I just discovered this a couple weeks ago when I was reading. Ephesians 3, verse 10 in the Amplified Classic, it said, the purpose is that through the church, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God in all its infinite variety and innumerable aspects might now be made known to the angelic rulers and authorities, principalities and powers in the heavenly sphere through the church. Through the church. The manifold wisdom of God will be made known to the powers and principalities in the heavenly sphere through the church. We have power and we have authority that we're not operating in. We're not walking in that. But he's drawing us there. He wants us to be there. There are things in Mark chapter 4 is the passage of the sower and the seed. And I'm not going to read the whole passage. You guys, the story is that a farmer went out and he was scattering seed and some fell on by the wayside and the birds came and ate it up, and that's the enemy snatching that word right away. And some fell on stony ground and it sprang up immediately, but because it had no root, you know, when persecution and tribulation came, it didn't stand because it had no root. But the next one, in verse 19, it's talking about the seed that falls among the thorns and the thistles. And it says, and what that is, you know, verse 18 says, and the ones sown among the thorns are others who hear the word, then the cares and anxieties of the world, and Brother Dale just talked about be anxious for nothing, the cares and the anxieties of the world and the distractions of the age and the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and the craving and passionate desire for other things creep in and choke out and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. That covers both aspects. That's talking about when you're worried and concerned about all the things, but then there's also, you know, all kinds of entertainment and different things that it will pursue, or riches. And so it's both sides of it will choke out the word unless we make time for that word. And we cannot contend when we allow the word to be choked out of us. There's power in the word of God. And as Pastor Chris talks all the time about speaking the words, where's your shout? Where's your shout was one of his messages. Where's your shout? There needs to be a shout. You know, faith is not silent. You have to speak to the mountain. You have to say this and you have to say that. And as Pastor Chris said one time, the promises of God are voice activated. The promises of God are voice activated. We have to speak those things. We need to speak those things. So we can't let the word of God be choked out. We need to be in that word and have that word take root in our heart if we're going to be effective, if we're truly going to contend for the faith. In the temple, and I don't mean to be always, you know, Pastor Chris touched on everything. And I love sitting under Pastor Chris, because Pastor Chris and Pastor Kelly and so many of you have truly ministered to me and have reignited a fire in me and have stirred in me, which is what we're supposed to do. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And I love being in this house and the teachings that are going on in this house. And I believe that there's a powerful anointing, and I believe that we are going to be taking a lot of ministry out in various areas. And I believe that with all my heart. I believe God's going to use this ministry to affect a lot of lives. Hallelujah. But Pastor Chris talked about the temple, and you have the outer courts, and you have the holy place, and you have the most holy place. And let me flip back here real quick. In the outer courts, that's where all the animals are brought in. And there's a lot of activity going on, animals being brought in and slaughtered. That is representing Jesus shedding his blood for us. And where we come to know him as Savior, which is an awesome, awesome thing. And there's a lot of activity going on in that place, and the animals are being brought in, people are coming and going, and different things going on. A lot of bloodshed. But in that place, when we first get saved, we're newborn babes in Christ. And it's an awesome thing, because it's the transition where we first step into the kingdom of God. We accept Jesus Christ as Lord, or we don't find him, he finds us. Well, anyway, but he becomes our Savior. But the sad thing is, that I want to touch on, the sad thing is, a lot of times people stay there. And that's the danger. A lot of times people will say, they say, yep, I gave my heart to Jesus 30 years ago. I'm good. I'm going to heaven. But there's so much more. And I know Pastor Chris shared a lot of messages where he said many times, man, there's more, there's more, there's more, there's so much more. But a lot of times people want to just stay there, and they say, I gave my heart to Jesus. But God wants, he wants to draw us out of the, from the outer courts into the holy place where there's more intimacy with him. And he wants us to come higher up and come into that holy place with him and have more fellowship with him, and where he can begin to reveal so much more of himself to us, because there's so much more to God that he wants to reveal to us. And he's not going to do it in the outer courts. But when we come into the holy place, there's more revelation going on. There's more things going on. And in this book, The Revelation of Jesus Christ by Brother Lynn Hiles, he talks about in the outer courts, it's like, you know, Jesus said about the seed falling on fertile soil, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. And he says it's in the outer courts, it's like the 30-fold. But when we get into the holy place, it's the 60-fold, because there's more intimacy with him and there's more revelation going on. And it's an activity of it's more concerning God and humanity. You know, there's still human activity going on in the holy place. Somebody has to light the candles. Somebody has to bake the bread, because you got the two stacks of bread. So there's still some human activity going on, but God manifests his presence in that place. And we get to experience a lot more of God in that place. And it's a co-ministry of God and people. And in that place, we know him as Christ, the anointed one. He's the anointed healer, the baptizer. And in that place, we're no longer babes. We're a little more mature. We're adolescents in that place. And a lot of times people want to stay there. But God doesn't want us to stay there. God wants to draw us even closer to him, even more intimate with him, into the most holy place, the holy of holies, or the most holy place. And man, that one song we sang about the veil is rent and the doors flung open and I ran in, you know, he wants us in there. That is where God wants us to be. God wants us to be in the most holy place, because I'll tell you what, there is no fleshly activity going on in the most holy place. It is all God. It's all God, and that's where he wants us. He wants us to come into that place where we have such an intimate relationship with him, where we are dead in the flesh, in ourselves, and it is all God. And we are totally 100% surrendered to him and allowing him to do whatever he wants to do in and through us. And all the plans and purposes he has for each one of our lives, that he wants to be able to operate in the fullness and do everything that he has planned and purposed for us. And that happens in the most holy place. And it's a sovereign realm where it is not by might nor by power, but it is by my spirit, saith the Lord. And that's out of Zechariah 4:6. There is no place or no flesh in that place. It is God alone. And that houses the fully grown children of God. Amen. And this is the place of the hundredfold ministry, and this is the place where we come to know him as Lord. And this is also the place where John 15:17 takes place. And I've often pondered that passage where Jesus said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask a lot of things. No, he said, you can ask whatsoever you will and it shall be done. That happens in the most holy place. That's not going to happen in the outer courts. I mean, when we first get saved, man, there's a lot of things God does because he loves us and it's fresh and it's new. But he wants to draw us into that holy place, and he wants to draw us into the most holy place. And that is the place where he says, if ye abide in me and my word abides in you, ask what you will. Ask what you will. Because we're not going to ask amiss in that place. When we're in the very presence of God and we're dead to the flesh, we're not going to ask amiss. We're not going to ask out of selfish motives. We're not going to ask for, for things to appease the flesh. We're going to ask for things that are in line with his purpose, with his will. And we can ask whatever we want and it shall be done. And that's where we're going to see tremendous miracles and things take place and a flowing out of miraculous signs and wonders and different things that God has going on. And you know, people pray for revival. Let's press into the holy place and we will see revival. It'll start with us as we enter into that most holy place. Hallelujah. In Hebrews 11:6, it said he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Of those who diligently seek him. That'll take place in the most holy place. Hallelujah. He's the God that opens doors that no man can shut. He says that in Revelation. And he shuts doors that no man can open. And he says, behold, I have set before you an open door. I have set before you an open door. And my question is, are we willing to step through it? Because I believe we're at a day and age right now, and we can focus on all the things going on around us and all the evil that's going on and in the political realm or in every area of life. Or we can focus on what God is doing at this time and in this age, because we truly are here for such a time as this. He has fully equipped us. He has empowered us. He's given us his name, the name that is above every name, above all power, all authority. He's given us his name. Are we going to step through that door? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And I think I'm going to end there. That's probably the shortest message. So are you willing to contend? Are you willing to contend? Are you willing to do what it's going to take? Do you know that you're loved? Do you know that you are fearlessly? Do you know that song, Reckless Love? The Reckless Love of God? Man, there's no wall he won't kick down. He loves you. The debt's already been paid. And he has fully equipped you. He says to put on the whole armor of God. And Pastor Chris just touched on this again Wednesday. Putting on the whole armor of God. That you might be able to stand in evil day. And having done all to stand. Stand therefore. And list all the armor. He has fully prepared each and every one of us. To do what he's called us to do. Amen. Amen. So if you need prayer, I'm going to pray right now, but if you need prayer, there will be those that will pray with you. Let's stand for one another. Hallelujah. Let's encourage each other. Let's go ahead and stand. Father, I just come before you in the name of Jesus, and Father, I just am trusting that what needed to be shared was shared. And I'm trusting, Lord, that you encourage and strengthen each one. Hallelujah. And Lord, that when we leave this place, we're not the same as when we came in. And Father, whatever struggles we have, Lord, whatever things are coming against us, Lord, may we know who we are in Christ Jesus. May we speak your word with power and with authority. Hallelujah. May we walk in obedience to you and just allow you to do everything you desire to do. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you and praise you for your word. That your promises are yes and amen. Your word shall never, 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 never return void, but it shall accomplish that which you sent it for. And we thank you and we praise you for that in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen.